Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two. What's going on? What's going on, everybody? How are you? Hanging in, moving forward, doing what we do here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. And let's face it, by now we know every single inch and crevice of our homes and our houses. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Get your mortgage here. So listen, we're all searching for stuff to watch. And last night I thought I was going to get into at least one or maybe even two of the middle part episodes of Ozark. Did not happen. Got a little derailed. Hopefully that happens tonight. But two nights ago, I was able to watch The Scheme on HBO. And it is absolutely riveting. The Scheme is obviously the documentary about, really, it's basically the biggest scandal that hit college basketball ever, outside of probably the point shaving, you know, in like the 50s when CCNY and some of those New York teams were involved. But this was an interesting look at you know, at something that I think, first of all, we all know. I mean, that's the important part about this. We all know that the main players go to certain teams and they're funneled there, and Adidas has their liaisons and Nike has their guys and so on and so forth. It's a dirty business. We all know that. We've known this forever. But it really, really was out there and came to fruition last night with Christian Dawkins, who was at the middle of the criminal case here. One of the few who actually went to jail. I mean, what a complete waste of time, first of all, by the FBI, huh, Teak?
Yeah, no, I mean, they spent 3 years investigating this, BT, as we subsequently found out. They spent millions of dollars undercover operations, and the Southern District of New York got up, and I forget the prosecutor's name, but he gets up, or the DA's name, gets up, and he talks about how, you know, we know your game plan now. And
no, we have your playbook.
Yeah, we have your playbook, to you know, use a euphemism to make it feel threatening to the college basketball or even football programs across the country. And honestly, it made us look like our eyes were like wide open. Like, man, all right, go ahead. What are you going to do? What's coming? What's next? And, you know, 2 years later now, BT, we have one middleman, really insignificant in the process of the whole thing. Yeah, when you watch this documentary, it makes it seem like I'm forgetting his name now. Christian Dawkins, yep, is like this huge deal, but he's just one of like many that do this, right? And it's his story, so we're listening to his story, so he feels like a central figure. But he's not. He's the middleman. And so the middleman gets 18 months. Nobody else gets anything, you know? And it's like, where was, what did you do this for? You were enforcing NCAA rules. These were not like federal rules. These were not like state rules. These are NCAA violations that you are federally investigating. It made you scratch your head about the waste of resources, especially considering, BT, that we still know that these things are happening.
Yep.
You know, it's not like it stopped.
Yeah.
It's just they got smart about it and stopped, like, you know, having loads of cash being traceable. So, I mean, I understand why the FBI thought they needed to go this way, but until there is a systematic change in the NCAA, then nothing's gonna happen.
No, and the, you know, the lack or the misuse of power with the federal resources here, you know, it really is chronicled well throughout the hour plus documentary, because all the money that, and it was all FBI money when they met Las Vegas for the showcase for the players, and the various coaches rolled through the suite.
Yeah,
and
that they was set them up. They were basically setting them up.
Yeah, no kidding. They were basically trying to coerce him into a crime. And, you know, Christian Dawkins, who is the central figure in this, is really holds the camera well. He's a really interesting guy. His family life is in. His pops was a coach. His brother passed away, who was thought to be the next great player from Saginaw. And they've had a bunch, Draymond Green, et cetera. And it just, if you love basketball, you'll love it. I mean, HBO did a superb job. And Christian Hawkins, despite going to jail, and I guess at least, you know, in the eyes of I would say most, was at least on the lower level. Did he commit a crime literally? Yes. We can argue, should he have gone to jail? I would say absolutely not.
Yeah. It's more tax evasion than you know, what was the crime that he needed to go away for 18 months? You know,
they had a couple that they hit him with wire fraud, tax fraud,
racketeering. It's because you discuss money that wasn't going to be taxed over a cell phone. That's wire fraud. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I get it, but it's a reach for the money they spend investigating this.
But he's really landed on his feet very quickly.
Yeah, of course, because he's charismatic, right?
He was
in the hustle. I didn't realize this, BT. Yeah. He was in the hustle when he was like 12.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like, dude.
No, he was getting, he got a sponsor. He got Under Armour to sponsor an AAU team. This is like 15 years ago, as Under Armour was really just kind of venturing onto the scene before they had a ton of money. And I think he got a $100,000 commitment. He was like 14 years old, whatever he was. I mean, he's really, really sharp. And his family, his mom is interesting and really, really warm and cool. And his dad seems like a great guy as well. I thought it was great. But we got to play this for you. To me, this is absolutely amazing. I just want you to listen to this. Now, D-Cell, do me a favor. I'm going to set it up now, and I want to roll back to back because I don't really need to set it up further once everybody knows what they're about to hear. The first thing you'll hear is Sean Miller, somehow still the coach at Arizona, denying FBI allegations during a press conference. This was a while ago. And then right after that, you will hear from the HBO documentary The Scheme an actual recording of a wiretap with Sean Miller and Christian Dawkins. Obviously, Arizona was DeAndre Ayton. We'll get to Will Wade and LSU with Javonte Smart after. But this is Sean Miller. Listen to this.
Contrary to what has been written this past week, we do our very best to run a clean program at the University of Arizona. I have never knowingly violated NCAA rules while serving as head coach of this great program. I have never paid a recruiter prospect or their family or representative to come to Arizona. I never have, and I never will.
In essence, let me ask you, do you think you're getting out of your age?
No, he's going to LSU.
Okay, he's going to LSU, because that helps.
We're not even bringing him on a visit. He's not even visiting us. That's all bullshit. Like, I'm looking at, like, our recruiting board. He's not even on it. I've never talked to the kid. All that hype shit on the phone, it's stupid. He just probably said, you know what, you. I don't want 75. I want 120. I may go to Arizona. That's all that was.
In what ways? I'd still book. I said, what ways? Like, driving the price of because he's not even doing, like, real numbers.
Like, I tell you what, I give him credit, and he got a big set of balls on him.
No, Will Wade doesn't give a shit.
I mean, they're talking about actual numbers, 75,000, this school bumping it up to 120, we're out, he's not even on a recruit board because we're not going to fill the gap of money. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, it is, and you know what, on a lot of levels, I mean, yeah, you would love to live in a world where you don't hear that, because then who, you know, I guess those who still believe on some level the NCAA is, you know, really about, you know, full throttle competition and spirit for the school and all that nonsense, which we know doesn't really fully exist. But for those who live in that, you know, utopian universe there, I almost wish you don't hear that, because it really does bring you right to the underbelly of what transpires everywhere. I don't care what school it is. I don't need to start dropping names, but I'm talking about the most respected figures of all time. Now, they might not be on that phone call. They might have 2 or 3 degrees of separation, but you better believe there's a funneling element everywhere.
Yeah. No, it's always been that way, and it's continued to be that way. And, you know, this is all under the veil of amateurism. You'll keep hearing this word come up, because that's the pretense that the FBI went after or went under and undercover for and spent all this money for was to root out these amateurism violators and wire fraud, criminals that none of them were actually convicted, surprisingly. But amateurism is what this boils down to, and the fallacy that if that being true, because it's not, right? These guys are making billions of dollars or at least $1 billion for the NCAA. And we saw that very clearly this year when the NCAA men's college basketball tournament was canceled and $1 billion was not made. All right. So it's one of those situations where you want kids to do things the right way, but it's really hard to make these not quite professionals accept nothing to go make someone else $1 billion. It's really hard. And we know this. We know that these rules are trying to be amended. The Commission on College Basketball that was headlined by Condoleezza Rice and some others, Grant Hill, et cetera, were on this thing. They talk about being able to compensate college athletes because it's necessary. And it's a for-profit entity, even though the NCAA is not for profit, where the participants aren't profiting. It's not right, and it's not American. And so many people have pointed that out, but it still hasn't changed.
Yeah. You know, I want to throw another name in here, which is really the opposite of this. It's a name that most of you probably won't necessarily recognize, and yet, unless you're in Chicago or a devout Big East fan. That's Dave Leto, who is the head coach of DePaul, who just got a contract extension. Dave Leto is, I've been around twice. He's had two stints at DePaul, all right? And during those 8 years, encompassing the two stints, he's got a record of 122 and 132. And that includes, 11 or 12 non-conference games each year where you're supposed to win, 7, 8, 9 games if you're a Big East school, minimally, because you're beating up on bad teams or smaller teams. During a 3-year run, he was 50, what was he? He was, he was 10th. The last 5 years in the Big East, he's finished 10th out of 10th 4 times and, and 9th once, all right? So 4 of the 5 years, he's been 10th, dead last, and 1 year they skyrocketed to 9th, and he gets a contract extension. I don't say this to make fun of Dave Leto or take shots at his resume or even take shots at DePaul. What I'm saying is Dave Leto's not cheating. Dave Leto's not cheating on the level that some of these other coaches are, because and this is the dilemma. And quite frankly, this has really plagued St. John's all these years. If you don't cheat, I don't care how hard you work. If you don't cheat, you don't get difference makers, period. And you don't win. So that's the only thing that really bothers me about this. I know everybody's cheating, at least everybody who's doing well. But it's the little guys, the DePauls and, to a lesser extent, St. John's and other schools that are, just mired in obscurity and toiling in the weeds of randomness and just mediocrity for decades. They can't get out of it because they're really, in most part, abiding by the rules.
Yeah, well, it forces you to be really good at what you do. And that's easier said than done. And what I mean by that is that I know for a fact Virginia is not cheating. They don't bring in high enough starred recruits to have paid them. You know what I mean? Nobody wanted Kihei Clark, who was 5'7", a point guard who was instrumental last year in the Final Four, really the Elite Eight run, starting with the enormous play at the end of regulation against Purdue, where he threw it down to Mamadi Diakite, and they went to overtime. But nobody was paying Kihei Clark to come play for their university, right? So it forces you to have the right scheme and the right kids into those schemes. It's why you see some of these mid-majors, it's a misnomer to even call them that anymore, but these mid-majors who have really good coaches, who have schemes that the kids buy into, two-star, three-star players who by the time they're third years or fourth years, juniors or seniors, like Dayton, they're competing because they've all bought in and they don't make mistakes. And you see them getting beat by teams that are taking shortcuts. And I won't name any names, but you get these one and done teams. Colleges have all these one and done players. One player goes off the rails, you're not winning, and you end up having a down season. So it forces you, if you're not going to cheat, to be really good at your job. And you know who the really good coaches are, because they're the ones that are getting those two-star recruits or and three-star recruits, but are still in the top 20 in the nation. That's the difference. Yeah. And it's been discounted because so much of the success of college coaches comes on how much they make, right? These guys are making, you know, $5 or $6 million a year, right? The highest paid employee in most states in this country are the head football or head basketball coach.
Yep.
Think about that statement, mm-hmm. right? In 80% of the states in this country, the highest paid public employee is a football or basketball coach. How does that make any damn sense? Mm. And now you don't want the kids to take anything? Come on.
All right, so we heard Sean Miller's his side of the story. Wait to hear about Will Wade, and wait to hear about LSU's response to what was on the scheme on HBO. Will these guys have jobs next season? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. And if your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help make all your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. And now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Shop online or stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. So there's the Sean Miller Arizona aspect from HBO's The Scheme. And then there's the Will Wade LSU angle from The Scheme on HBO. Let's hit rewind, go back in time, and then D-Cell can roll it back to back. Will Wade, the first thing you'll hear, the head coach, still denying even knowing Christian Dawkins during the press conference. They didn't even know the guy. I don't know. Who's Christian Dawkins? Is he related to Daryl Dawkins or Johnny Dawkins? I don't know Christian Dawkins. Yeah, you do, as we'll hear in the second cut. Go ahead, D-Cell, hit it up.
We have never, ever done business of any kind with Christian Dawkins.
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Just getting ready to head to NYC. I don't know. Big, hopefully Boston game's not blowing you up too much right now.
Well, listen, I mean, he could be playing for LSU or some game. It's 5th-year eligibility, and if he doesn't get drafted, like Randolph Morris or some like that.
We'll take that. We'll take it.
I know you will. I know
you will.
We
could compensate
him
better than the rookie minimum.
You're probably right about that, too.
We give him more than the D League.
Exactly. Exactly. God bless us all. God bless us all. So,
all right. I was thinking last night on this smart thing. Like, I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of dealing with this. What do you think? Because I went to him with a strong-ass offer about a month ago. Strong. Now, the problem was, I know why I didn't take it. Now, it tilted towards the family a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was a hell of an offer.
Okay.
Like, hell of an offer. Especially for a kid who's going to be a 2 or 3 year kid.
Right.
I've made deals for as good of players as him that were a lot simpler than this.
I mean, that makes Sean Miller sound like a priest right there. I mean, that is Will Wade going all straight out gangster mode right there. He's not talking about a strong offer being room and board. He's talking about a strong monetary offer to get Javonte Smart to come to LSU.
Wow.
You got to be kidding. And by the way, how about this? So, okay, so it's out there. And, I mean, there's nothing nebulous. There's nothing to interpret. It is very direct. He goes to the well 2 or 3 times. Quote, strong-ass offer, his words. So you know that LSU AD Scott Woodward was going to be asked about this, and of course he was. And here's his response. Quote, "We are aware of the documentary, first aired on March 31st, 2020 on HBO. There is no change to Coach Will Wade's employment status at LSU, and we will continue to cooperate with all reviews into this matter." End quote. Listen, just to reiterate, I am not going to get on the air and call for Will Wade to get fired or for Sean Miller to get fired, because I've been long aware just how deeply embedded this this is in the sport. And I know that they're not alone. They happen to be the only two voices in this documentary on HBO, but they're not alone. I'm not looking to make examples of them. While I'm not going to call for their ouster, I have a question for you, Tiki. How the hell can a place of higher learning, okay, a place that's supposed to be one of the bastions of the state of Louisiana, how do they condone this?
Because it's all about the money that they make, BT. Like, at the end of the day, you hate to be so simple. It's a cliche. I mean, I hate to say it's almost a cliche. It is a cliche. It's all about the money. Basketball programs generate a significant amount of money for their universities, as do football programs. And so the incentive is to win. And the only way to win, and I've said this for years, and you know this to be true as well, the only way to win is if you recruit to win and recruit the best players, keep the studs in state, and then go find some others from out of state. But those other guys, or really all the guys in state and out of state, are being wooed by many different ways. And so your success and failure is based upon winning, and winning is based upon recruiting. Once you have that success, your salary, whether it's $3 million or $9 million, depending if you're basketball or football, is based on the success of the university, the television deals, rights deals, the shoe deals, apparel deals. That's all based on winning. Like, nobody is incentivized. No one across the chain, from start top to bottom, is incentivized to do it the right way. And it's all based on this this belief that amateurism is the most important tenet of college sports. Now, it may be for non-revenue generating sports, but for the sports that we're talking about, it's all about money, period. And the reason that the LSU is saying we don't have to do anything and Will Wade's job status is going to stay the same, and hell, I don't fault them, is because the NCAA can't sanction them.
No. Hold on a second, Teague. Hold on. I got to totally disagree with this. Not about the notion that it's all about the money. I totally co-sign that. We all know that. There's no doubt you're right. We've always known that. It's about the money. But there's a big difference, okay? Let's say whether you're the president of the school or the athletic director, and you're out at the local steakhouse and you're having a couple of the pops and you're with a couple of the boosters or people from the English department or people from the athletic department or people from the science department. And, you know, three martinis in, you say, you know, it comes up, "Hey, listen, we're having a hell of a season, huh, boy?" You know, and I'm going to forget about Will Wade, just some fictitious school. "Man, we're going back to the big dance. Look at this. Wow, our profile's up, our admission's good, man, but..." Yeah, you just know he's just doing it a little dirty, you know, it's a little seedy, it's a little seamless right now. That's different, ignoring it amongst yourselves and knowing that that's how you operate to flourish and not drown in the waters of the NCAA. It's quite another for this guy's voice to be across the world to decipher this guy cutting deals.
Yeah,
$75,000, $100,000, get this guy here, get something for his mom. It is not the same. So yeah, I know it's about the money, but LSU should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, so
it's
disgraceful. We talk about this all the time, BT. We all know that this happens, correct?
Correct.
Right? You now have kind of proof that it happens, correct?
No doubt.
The NCAA has no subpoena power. The NCAA can't do anything.
I'm talking about the school where there's 40,000 students whose name, come on.
But how many people at that school do you think care? I mean, I'm being dead serious, BT.
Don't know.
How many of the students, alumni, whoever, care that their teams are cheating to win? The answer is probably not many. They care if they get caught and it gets sanctioned and all of a sudden, you know, there's a black eye on the university. But forget getting caught. I'm just talking about the fact that this happens. How many people do you think care? The answer is not many, because they understand that this is America is built on capitalism. It's built on people taking advantage of monetary systems or ways to make money. And the NCAA is absolutely no different. They're not basing this on a rule of law. This isn't something that was adjudicated throughout
the
history of sport. But what is morality? Morality morality is based on what is commonly accepted, right? At this point, we're talking about it openly, saying people are doing this. We all know it. So isn't that not commonly accepted? So how is it immoral? You know what I mean? So it's one thing to like take this like this high ground, this stand at the top of my castle and say you should have a outrage about this.
Well, you should.
But at the same time, accepting and knowing that it goes on, right? So it you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth on this one. You really can't.
Hold on. So you talk about, does anybody on campus truly care? You know what, Teak? I think you're right. I don't think the guys in the frat house care, nor should they.
I don't think the professors care, because the professors make a ton of money.
True.
Part of their endowments are based on the fact that the school's revenues are boosted by having a successful football program or basketball program, or the $350 or $60 million that come from the NCAA for their NCAA tournament. You know what I mean? Like it's all tied together. And you've got to be naive to say, I'm going to stand on this, you know, stand on my soapbox and malign my university for not, you know, cutting out this cheating element, even though we know it exists.
No, but Teague, I want to reinforce. I do think there's two very different, there's two differences here. To do it preemptively is absolutely not happening. That's standing on your soapbox and saying, well, you know what? I'm walking across the beautiful grounds on this campus, and damn it, even though we're ranked third in the country and might win the national championship, not under my watch. I will not allow this to happen. And you fire people without any sort of wiretap or any sort of documentary on HBO or any sort of scandal swallowing up your school. That is unrealistic. What is not unrealistic or out of bounds is to expect a school to have some sort of ethical component when their head coach at a place of higher learning is cutting deals so openly. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Not really.
Well, there should be.
I just don't think there's a difference, because we know it. We just know we have voices of some people doing it. We don't have voices of other people doing it, but we know a lot of people do it.
Christian Dawkins
is not the only person in the world who is wheeling and dealing behind the scenes.
Well aware.
And it's not just agents. It's financial advisors. It's everyone. It's been going on for ages. And even some of the greatest programs, UCLA and John Wooden, all of this stuff has been going on forever. And it's never going to change until the NCAA has an ability. This actually becomes a law. Like a law that is enforceable, not by some ridiculous FBI, you know, sting, but is enforceable in the courts in this country. This is not an enforceable law in our country. It's a made up theory of amateurism that the NCAA espouses, so they don't have to pay athletes.
Yeah,
right?
But that's real.
That's not real.
I'm not saying it's not, but you're just taking it, and that's fine. You're just taking it in a different direction. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I agree with that. A lot of the things you're saying, I am agreeing with. It's just that it's so. I'm gonna make it akin to this. Take a couple at the country.
But is it actually? So if you're not breaking a law, how is it morally?
Well, you're breaking a rule. A law and a rule are different. He's breaking rules. NCAA rules that he's breaking.
Okay, but who puts the NCAA in charge? You know the NCAA was brought around because of people having skull fractures playing football, right? And then they expanded their reach because they needed a common platform across multiple universities around the country, right? They kind of not backed their way in, but they kind of, they I don't know, they like – they made their way into being this governing body, and they made up a lot of these rules that have never been tested. And this was before, and back in the days when this non-for-profit, this non-for-profit entity was not making billions of dollars and signing, you know, multi-billion dollar contracts with television networks to broadcast football and basketball games. Back then, amateurism probably had some merits, right? Now, when you look at the NCAA making $1 billion and all of these universities off of sports programs making hundreds of millions of dollars, which are supplying and supporting universities in ways that could not have been imagined 35 years ago or 40 years ago, this doesn't apply. Amateurism doesn't apply any longer, period.
Listen, I just know that if I'm at the country club, right, and there's a couple that everybody in the town knows that this dude is cheating on his wife left and right, okay? Of course, nobody says anything. The wife might not even say anything because for the sanctity of the home and for the kids and other reasons that she might just not file for divorce. But if it's caught, if that guy's caught on the news because he's going 90 and a 40 and he's drunk and he's got his girlfriend in the car, and now the whole town knows that, oh, now it's out there. Now there's evidence that he's cheating on her. Now she has to leave him. That's what this is about.
Not necessarily. Well, no, he might leave him because he broke an actual law and went to jail. But there's no rule that you can't have a philanderous relationship and be part of a country club. You know what I mean?
It's the distinction, Teak, of what's out there and what's not is what I'm saying. That's the analogy.
Yeah, but we know it's out there anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hear Coach K on a wiretap. I don't hear Roy Williams on a wiretap. I don't
Coach
hear Jay
K's,
Wright on a wiretap.
That's because they're smart.
I don't hear Mick Cronin on a wiretap. I heard Miller and I heard Will Wade.
Okay.
All right. Listen, good.
They weren't subjected to the Southern District of New York either.
They failed that. We both agree on that. Good debate. Get us on Twitter if you guys wanted to jump in. Obviously a lot there at Tiki and Tierney. All right. Coming up next, Terrell Lewis, Alabama linebacker. We'll get with him, get his thoughts on where he's going to get drafted, how healthy is Tua, and what's it like to play with Tua and for Nick Saban. That's coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, it is hard work. Get a quote, GEICO.com. You know, listen, as we wait for Terrell Lewis here, Alabama linebacker, Tiki, I would even be open to some sort of reconfiguration where there was almost like a salary cap aspect to collegiate athletics. And the higher the conference in terms of revenue generated, the more you're able to disperse on your roster. And, you know, what that would do, I think, is circumvent the middleman where the player gets a little pop. And the schools know I've got X amount of money on X amount of five-star prospects. And then after that, I've got to settle things, you know, in a more conventional 3-4-star manner, depending upon the school. I don't know if that's a perfect answer. Listen, it's the Wild West out there. I get it. I'm just really surprised that LSU is so steadfast when this is so public. That's what is most mystifying to me. Really, the more I think about this, that is just mystifying that they can stand there, take the bullets when their coach was so, so obviously cheating. It's amazing. Amazing.
But they feel like the NCAA has no teeth. So what are they going to do? That's what it comes down to, I think.
I guess. This young man's getting ready to move from college to the pros from Alabama. And he's healthy. He's had a little bit of a rough road physically, but he had a terrific season. And he's from Alabama. His name is Terrell Lewis, and he's with us here, linebacker, Tiki and Tierney. Mr. Lewis, how you feeling there, buddy?
I'm feeling good, man. Appreciate y'all having me on.
No, yeah, of course. It's great to have you on. We always love talking to the prospects as they get ready to go into the NFL draft. And look, this is unprecedented, the circumstances that everybody finds themselves in, given stay-at-home orders and, you know, you're worried about coronavirus. But how are you staying healthy? How are you staying fit? Because your life's going to change in a few weeks here.
Yeah, I've been still practicing the social distancing thing, but still kind of staying active in a sense, kind of still going out and getting treatment. I know medical places are still open, so they kind of been, I kind of been improvising and kind of getting treatment there, taking care of my body and just kind of working out and doing all my activities there, but still making sure that the numbers are low when I do go out there so that it's not a lot of people, so I can still be cautious of everything going on right now.
Is that hard to do, Terrell? I mean, because you like me, because I played obviously for a decade in the NFL and college as well. It's like a camaraderie sport. Like, you want to be around the guys, you want to be lifting together, you want to be working out together, because it's hard to do stuff by yourself. Man, you get some days you just get tired, you get worn out, you just want to quit. Like, I'll do this tomorrow. But when there's other guys there, it's a lot easier. Does that make it that much harder right now?
Yeah, it definitely makes you dig deep and kind of, you know what I'm saying, obviously got to be mentally tough to kind of go through a time like this. But at the same time, the people that I'm working with too, I've had a relationship with them since I'm back home. So that kind of helps it be a little bit more easier just to kind of be able to work out and still have that type of relationship with the people that I'm working with to keep me comfortable, making me not feel alone with this and not kind of get bored and more so look at the work as more of a punishment, but also still kind of make it fun and entertaining at the time that I'm doing it.
That's all you can do, man. That's what you got to do. Terrell Lewis with us here, former Alabama linebacker. So I'm curious, you know, Tiki can relate to this obviously much more than me, but like the big time recruiting aspect, when you got old coaches knocking on your door, bombarding you on the phone, blowing you up with the text messages. I mean, Nick Saban, what is he like as a recruiter? Like personality wise, what was it like when Nick was chasing you, trying to get you to Tuscaloosa?
I think early on, I used to look at Coach Saban and kind of feel like, okay, I feel like I'm talking to a robot. Like, it felt like I was talking to a guy that kind of reads everything straight off of paper. And then, you know, saying, as we kind of still continued to build our relationship, I started to see the personable side of him while seeing him interact with the players. He kind of got more comfortable talking to me, and even popped up on me one time before I was taking an official visit to Ole Miss. He kind of like popped up on me at the airport maybe like 2 hours before I was going to fly out for my official visit to see it. Go see Ole Miss like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before signing day, just to make sure that he leaves an impression on me before I go visit another school that he could tell was obviously competing hard to, you know what I'm saying, out recruit them. So you definitely see a different side of Nick. That you, obviously something like that, especially in high school, that kind of left an impression on me as far as just him going way out of his way to just pop up and just see me for an hour and a half and come all the way to the Maryland, D.C. area just to see me before I go visit another school. So that was definitely different.
Do you think that, you know, when you look, you know, eventually you're going to hear your name called on draft night early for sure. You'll get drafted, you start making some money, it'll become your full-time consumption, you'll be a pro. You imagine, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you and Nick still have, you know, you called him up, checking in with your old ball coach, seeing how he, like, is that the kind of relationship that Nick has with some of his guys, or is that not common?
Oh, no, that's very common. I think it's kind of not portrayed that way, because I feel like a lot of people don't see the relationship side of Coach Saban, but he's definitely a guy like, even you're saying, you see a lot of former players come back all the time that come back and visit Coach. I know guys that, you know what I'm saying, always lean on Coach to help them out, you know what I'm saying, outside of football. So it's definitely a, you know what I'm saying, a relationship side of it that I think a lot of people don't get to see out of Coach Saban, where he helps open a lot of doors for people, you know what I'm saying, that people don't even really know about, but he always makes sure that, you know what I'm saying, his players are taken care of because he knows how much work they put in to help his program basically succeed.
Nice. Go ahead, T.
Yeah, you know, Terrell, I've been fortunate. I got a chance to go do a few of your games for radio down in Alabama, the Iron Bowl 2 years ago, and last year I was down for the LSU-Alabama game. And, you know, watching the process of how Alabama goes about preparing, it almost felt like it was an NFL game. It wasn't obviously college, and the atmosphere down Bryant Denny Stadium is unreal, but it felt like I was like prepping for an NFL game. Do you think that helps you and your teammates and former teammates make that jump into the National Football League, and do you see it as an asset for you as you get ready to take this jump?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think it helps very much, just because of the fact that it helps you learn the game of football so much better. And then also, like, transitioning to the league, you know what to look for. You know the tendencies and things you want to look for to help you play faster, play better, and basically study your opponent. And then also just the practice habits, the daily habits, the routine things that you learn helps you kind of learn how to take care of your body physically and mentally throughout a season, through a long season. I think that was the biggest thing, that even talking to older guys, like just hearing how they transition to the NFL, they definitely think that Alabama helps them out so much, because, you know what I'm saying, obviously the NFL season is a lot longer, but at Alabama, I feel like we played a long season compared to the rest of the college teams in, yep, in the nation on a consistent basis. So that definitely, you know what I'm saying, helps us kind of transition to the NFL and come up with things, you know what I'm saying, keep us mentally and physically well throughout the whole year.
Yeah, before, you know, we're running up against some time here, but we got to ask you about Tua. His circumstances coming in and starting in the national championship game, or at least the second half in the national championship game, and all of his success, but his injuries. Tell us a little bit about Tua from a teammate perspective. We got the chance to interview him at the Super Bowl, and he was just a great kid. I wonder what he's like in the locker room with you all.
No, he's definitely a great person, as you were saying. Obviously, a locker room guy that you know is very, he brings a lot of personality. And he's a guy that you know has a relationship with everyone of his guys in the locker room. So being around Tua, you can't help but root for a guy like him, because he always stays positive throughout everything. And he's always been a humble guy. But you, at the same time, you know how competitive he is. When you in the locker room with him, you know how confident he is. But at the same time, in the same way, he knows how to handle every situation accordingly. So he's always been a good guy, a good friend of mine, always keeping contact with him, a guy that I still, you know what I'm saying, even though we're not seeing each other every day like we used to, we always stay in contact with guys like him and the rest of my teammates.
Let me ask you this real quick. I'm sure you saw the footage he posted where he was doing some drop-back drills and doing some footwork, and he basically proclaimed himself 100%. You've got against him in practice quite a bit. From what you saw on that video, does that look like somebody who's 100%? Is he really back?
Yeah, he looked really smooth to me. I know talking to him, he was telling me at the combine the last time I saw him that he felt really good and was getting back acclimated, throwing the ball and stuff like that on the quiet. But when he dropped those videos, I was like, he damn near looked like himself again.
Okay. There you go, a mixed draft night. That much more intriguing. Somebody might scoot up to get him. It's going to be crazy, and it's going to be awesome for you. Enjoy the ride. It's obviously a unique draft for everybody this year. You've earned it. You've battled back from a few injuries. Great fortitude. Heck of a player. Linebacker for Bama, Terrell Lewis. Nice talking to you, young man. Enjoy the ride, seriously.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you, Terrell. Good luck to you, man. Be rooting for you.
Pretty good encouraging words about his boy, Tua.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, lots. And Terrell, by the way, he's a big boy too, man. He's
about 255, right?
265.
Is he that much?
Yeah, he's big, man. 6'5". I got to tell you, a lot of these guys, like, who, they're not tweeners, but they could do both. Play outside, but slide down inside if they need to. Let's get some versatile linebackers in the NFL these days.
We're going to get back to Tua, by the way. That's next. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.